Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardish Radio with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Bruce Weitz, and I hope you're listening to Stardish Radio. I do.
This is the incredibly groovy Carolyn Hennessy with the incredibly groovier Girls of Stardish.
Hey, this is Claire Coffey, and you're listening to Stardish Radio with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
All right. This is Stardish Radio with Graham Shields, here with Joanne, Jen, and Desi.
Well, hello, 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 everyone. Today is May 15th, 2008. Welcome to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. I'm your host, Joanne. I'm going solo. Jen and Desi are out tonight. So it is just I, but I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm really excited about our next guest that we're going to have on the show today. She's been doing soaps since 1983, as far as I can know, I know about. And she is a Daytime Emmy winner, plus a 2008 Daytime Emmy nominee. And Stardish Radio is so excited to have Miss Judy Evans with us. Judy, you with us?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you
all
so much for coming.
You poor thing.
Yeah, I'm all alone. Well, not really. I have you with me, so that's all I need. Don't worry about that. They're out doing their thing, you know. I mean, they're young girls, you know. They like to go hang out, so.
Yeah, right?
Got to get them. Yeah, they can do all that. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm very excited to talk with you. I'm gonna be so straight with you. I'm a self-proclaimed not ever really watched Days of Our Lives kind of girl. You know, but I do know of the character because my sister was a very faithful watcher of Days.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it's kind of hard not to know who these characters are between like Days of Our Lives and the ABC soaps because they've been around forever.
Right,
and the names
right.
just stick with you. And, I mean, my sister and I used to argue over the television at 1 o'clock if who was going to watch Days and who was going to watch All My Children, you know. So we kind of alternated back and forth. But so, yeah, I'm kind of like out of my realm, but I did a little research, so I hope I won't disappoint you.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great.
So this is what I'm seeing here, that for starters, let's start with like the family background, the trapeze artist. That just amazes me.
Yeah, I grew up in the circus. My parents were trapeze artists.
6 days
after I was born, we were on the road to Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow.
So I started life on the ground running, I suppose.
Right. So how did you go from the circus, basically, into acting?
Well, my parents stopped traveling with the circus when I was about 5 or 6, and then we would do regional circuses after that in the area. Mm-hmm. And until I was about 10. But my father went into business into the motorcycle industry, and
mm-hmm.
I actually wanted to be a doctor. I was studying furiously from junior high and into high school, and happened into a friend had told me that she was auditioning for the spring play to come along, and I should audition too. So I did, and I got the part but lost the friend. So that's kind of how I got into acting, and that's I found I really liked it, so I just started pursuing it, and I got very lucky very early and continue
right.
to be very lucky.
Right. Yes, I've been looking at your history, and you have done quite a bit, you know, and you worked with a lot of people, and you know, I mean, we're going to get into that too, but I mean, I'm just like, you know, you have a very impressive career, and I have to say, when I saw your picture, I got a little confused because you and Mary Beth Evans look so much alike. I thought you were sisters.
We were both
and like,
born and raised in California also.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I thought you guys were sisters, so I have to confess that little thing too. But you are both beautiful, and you do look alike. So I guess that's a compliment of some sort.
Oh, definitely. I think she's beautiful, so to compare me to her really is a compliment. Thank you.
Oh, yes, yes. So I usually start off the show, especially with someone new, with a little bit of an icebreaker kind of question. And it goes a little like this. You're the star of an animated soap opera. They're making you the star. They're turning a soap opera into animation, and they have you as the lead character. Now, your cast would be Mary Beth Evans, Wally Kurth, Vincent Irizarry, and Stephen Nichols.
Wow.
Now, out of all these people, they're your cast and you're the star. Who would you cast yourself as the lead, and who would you assign? What characters would you assign the other actors?
Wow, that's good. wow. I would cast Mary Beth and I as sisters from the wrong side of the tracks, very wild, very crazy, and large-chested.
Well, this has to be a cartoon, so we got to pick cartoon characters.
Oh, you mean like children's cartoon, not like
like a cartoon, like a Disney cartoon, or Hanna-Barbera.
I totally went into anime. Sorry.
Well, that we could do too. That's fine. We could do that too.
Okay, my mind is in the gutter. Okay, back to
That's all right.
Disney. More like a Disney thing. Okay. Wow. you know what? I'd like my character to be the evil witch. And
okay.
Mary Beth to be the sweet, innocent girl that the witch is after.
Like Snow White, kind of?
Yeah. And Stephen Nichols as the evil prince who wants the nice girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Wally Kurth as the dashing prince. And Vince as his brother, who's also after the pretty girl, but then falls in love with the witch. No.
This has been like I started this question like, I don't know, I guess about a week ago, and these guys that I've had on have come up with some really wild answers. So,
oh, really?
I just thought it was a cute little icebreaker. Yeah,
it is great.
Julie Berman, we had the other day on the show from General Hospital. She plays the daughter of Tony Geary, Luke and Laura's daughter. So she was on, and I asked her that question, and she referred to herself as Scrappy Doo from, like, Scooby-Doo. It was really cute. So it gets everybody laughing, and it kind of, like, breaks the ice a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, okay, well, let's see here now. You're a Daytime Emmy nominee this year.
Yes.
How excited are you?
Very excited, very surprised, very excited. It's the hardest thing to think about it is trying to figure out what to wear for women. I don't know if it's the same for men, but for women, it's like, and I want sexy shoes, but shoes that aren't going to hurt. So,
right?
I think, you know, it's going to be hard to find that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But very excited, very honored. It was really a surprise, and just to be, oh gosh, this is going to sound so corny, but just to be nominated by a group of peers is a great honor in itself.
Right.
So.
Well, like now, you had left Days and you came back as Adrian, right?
I came back as Bonnie and then came back again as Adrian.
Oh, right, okay, right, okay. So now you found that out on your goodbye party that they wanted you to come back. How did you feel about that, coming right back on to, you know, the same soap, same person, but a different character? Like, did that feel a little strange to you, or, had you ever done that before?
No. And I was excited by the challenge of it. And in such a short period of time, having to turn around and bring it back a character that I'd played before, which I've never done that, and also to make her so different from Bonnie. So it was a real challenge. I don't think I got nervous about it until, like, the day of or the day before. It was like, oh, I don't know if I could pull this off. Okay.
Right.
But it was just, wow, okay, let me see if I can do this. I didn't know if I could, if it would work. But it was really fun, and it was hard, though. I realized how hard Bonnie had been to play, because even though she'd been really fun to play, a lot of it you know, I had to work on a lot of the stuff that she did because it's not stuff that I could relate to, like, you know, stealing
mm-hmm.
your children's money and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and murdering people. You know, it's just, you know, but I had to find ways to justify it for me so that it could, I could play it as real. And I didn't realize that it was that difficult until I was playing Adrian because it
uh-huh.
was so simple, you know.
Right.
A lot simpler to play Adrian. A lot, I guess, though Bonnie is close to who I am in the essence of characters, you know, trash talking, you know, hard, you know, speaking.
Right,
you know,
right.
I use a lot of four-letter words in my life.
Okay.
So,
you know, you're in good, I'm in good company then because I do the same thing. So they tell me, you know, I grew up in a house full of Teamsters, so.
Oh, I had brothers, all three brothers. So I mean, it comes with the territory, right?
It does. I have three brothers and a sister, so yeah, absolutely.
You
definitely
play sports
does.
And you speak crazy.
Exactly. And then we're from New York to boot, so oh my gosh, what
are you really?
You know?
Oh, from the city? From the state?
I'm from right outside of the Bronx. So,
excellent.
I mean, yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, second nature to us.
Well, I can't tell that joke, how they teach the alphabet in Brooklyn, but bleeping A, bleeping B, bleeping C, you probably heard that joke.
oh, yeah, absolutely. So, now, how many bloopers were there? Like, did people, you know, did your castmates, you know, refer to you as the other character at all while you were shooting? Like, did it confuse them?
No, but I think a lot of it, too, is that when I was playing Bonnie, my hair was blonde and kind of shortish, and then I dyed it a really deep color of reddish brown and put...
I saw that. That looks really, really nice. I like that a lot.
Fun. It was fun to be, you know, on the other side of the tracks for a little bit, you know. But
yeah.
My husband missed the blonde, so when I was done playing Adrian, he begged me. The next day, I went and started the process back to blonde.
Oh,
fun to be, you know, redhead or brunettish, you know. It was really
right,
nice.
Right. It is.
And
it
I got
is,
to be smart
when you're
for
blonde
like a whole
for your
year.
Whole life.
What?
Yeah. And it is a good thing because, you know, I mean, I'm blonde also, and then, like, after so many times of dyeing your hair, your roots start to grow in black anyway, and then
you kind of
just forget. So you figure you're better off just with the dark hair so nobody sees the roots. I actually did that the other day. I dyed it, cherry brown, and I'm blonde as I can be, you know, but I just can't stand keeping up with it no more.
It's really hard. So, you know, because I'm a natural blonde, and yet I do highlights. So it is darker now than it was certainly 20 years ago. But
doing
the dark hair and the blonde roots coming back in would look so weird. My
mm-hmm.
husband would walk behind me and go, Judy, are you going bald? Because it would look like it was because there was this blonde stuff. And then this, and I'm like, no, I don't think so. And he goes, what? Oh, your roots.
Thanks, hubby.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's much cooler being blonde with dark roots than dark with blonde roots. Got to tell you.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Absolutely. But I do like
things doesn't work.
Mhm. And yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now of you with the darker hair. I do like it a lot. It looks really nice like that.
It was fun.
Definitely. So what are you doing now?
Now I am concentrating on my two most important roles, wife
mm-hmm.
and mother.
Yeah.
I've taken a little break. I'll probably get back into the whole acting thing. And the writer's strike, too. It was enabled me to take a break. I mean, it forced
right.
me a break. And been just, you know, housewife and
mm-hmm.
PTA and really being able to devote a lot of time to that. Now my husband and son are sick of me, so I have to go back to work.
And how
like,
old is your son?
He's going to be 12 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Getting close to that age where it's not cool, so cool to hang out with mom. So nice
that was
you know,
a rough age.
Yeah. But he's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah, mine's 15, and we kind of passed that part already, and it's a little better. A little better. Let's see here. Now, you do a lot of work with various charities.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Let's see. St. Jude's.
Diabetes and
Adopt a Minefield.
Yes, and Children's Cancer Research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, St. Jude's is one of my favorites also. I'm a cancer survivor. And, yeah, I was diagnosed at 32 with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
Yeah, and I went through like 4 years of treatments and stuff like that. So St. Jude's played a nice little part in there for us. And so that's like one of my favorites right there. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
but
amazing.
I'm 38 now and I'm in remission, so yay. Okay. My
excellent.
Little.
It's amazing the strides that they've made.
It has been. The hospital that I went into was one here in Florida called Holy Cross, and the oncologist that I had created what they call a cocktail, and it was a trial, and I did that for 6 months straight, 7 days a week, and 24 hours a day. I was in the hospital, and it tore me to pieces physically, but it did the job. And then I think they took me off just a little too early. I came back maybe like 3 or 4 months later. And then I ended up having to go to another big hospital, but up in Tampa, H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center, and had to have a bone marrow transplant. And then after that, everything got better. So, you know, once they did all that, then it hasn't come back at all. But, yeah, they've made a lot of progress in these areas.
That's just amazing. That's just wonderful.
Well, we have put up links to all of these charities on our blog page.
Oh, great.
As well as links to your YouTube videos.
Oh,
so
no.
Like I said, a lot of the people who usually tune in here are basically like ABC people from General Hospital, All My Children,
right.
And One Life. So, you know, it's not going to hurt them to go check out something different. And
that's
I
cool.
think, you know, as a soap fan, you should want to get to know what else is out there. You know, it's not just
right.
centered around ABC. So, I mean,
a whole
as much
other
as,
network.
Exactly. I mean, which I think is pretty sad, though, that NBC kind of like cut you down to just one soap and made so many hours out of the Today Show.
I thought
was a little ridiculous. But.
Well, hopefully, you know, it works for the network and all, but it's hard on the industry. I mean, Another World was a great show. Santa Barbara was a great show. Sunset Beach was a great show. Passions
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the type of show it was a great show.
Right.
So, I hope it works for them, but, you know, it would be nice to see more daytime on NBC, personally. That's just my personal
opinion. Well, yeah, that's my opinion also. I mean, and I thought it was pretty funny that the other networks kind of like slammed ABC in the nomination for not having as many soaps on as ABC does. They still got slammed.
I know.
Oh,
great.
You know, you did some great work in order to get that. Like, how many, when you submitted your reels for the Emmys, did you use both of the characters or was it just for one?
One episode of Adrian and one episode of Bonnie.
Okay.
The episode of Bonnie was more comedic. And
mm-hmm.
the episode of Adrian was more dramatic.
Okay.
So little, you know, show a little difference. So both of them had funny moments, and both of them had dramatic moments. Bonnie was more of a
mm-hmm.
caricature rather
right.
than, you know, I mean, she was definitely a character and all, but, you know, she was wacky. She was
out
there. fun,
mm.
though, really fun to play.
As an actress, period, is there anyone in this industry that you would want to work with as far as, like, possibly film? Or, like, who would your favorite actor or actress be in, like, the film industry that you would want to work with?
Willem Dafoe.
Oh,
Willem Dafoe, I watch just about anything. In fact, everything he's in, I'm just fascinated by him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's wonderful and just so intense that he's sexy intense. And
yeah,
he really is. And one of my favorite movies is just a very violent, fabulous film called Boondock Saints. And he plays this
okay.
great role in it. And he's just riveting, you know, in everything
right.
he does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to work with him. And there's so many. Robert De Niro would be awesome. Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
long list. I'd love, oh, love, love, love to work with Peter O'Toole and Al Pacino at some point. I mean, if I were to have my, you know, dreams come true.
Your pick, right,
have,
right.
You know, I just love Al Pacino's another one. I guess, okay, he could read the phone book and I'm watching.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, and it's so funny because whenever we do ask any other actor or actresses, Al Pacino's name always comes up. Him and Meryl Streep, those are the two faves so far that I've picked up on that so many people would like to work with. Now, did you ever hear of, there was a soap opera, I don't even remember what year it was in, Edge of Night. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah. It was a great show.
Yeah, I watched it. Actually, my aunt had a friend who was on it. Her name was Terry Davis.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even tell you what role she played. I mean, I don't even remember how old I was, but I was watching, going back to YouTube, I was picking up episodes off of YouTube of Edge of Night. It's amazing how far the internet has come. So, like, I was looking, when I was doing research on you, I found, like, your first episode of Guiding Light on YouTube. So, yeah, put your name in there, and you'll find so many episodes of you, and you have fans that put together montages of you with different, you know, like with Wally or with Vincent or whatever, and they have it all done up to songs, and it's really, real. They make, like, their own little webisodes of these things.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to check that out.
Oh, yeah, they really, yeah, you definitely have to. It's the web has become like another television, basically.
Right.
And
right.
We've had a couple guests on that are actually doing web series that
really?
Used to do soaps. Eden Regal, she used to be Bianca Montgomery on All My
right.
She's doing a web series called Imaginary Bitches.
Oh, excellent.
That her and her husband, and see, I, being that what you told me already, I knew that I could say that to you, that you would like that.
Oh my God,
she does
I'm
it.
Already intrigued.
Yeah, it's really a very great concept, but like her point was, you know, she left All My Children and went to California to be a wife and such like that, but then her and her husband is a writer, and he came up with this idea of Imaginary Bitches, and it's based on the premise of a young girl whose friends all are in that couple mode, and she's not, and they're all talking that couple crap and whatever, and she just happens to invent her own friends who just happen to be bitches.
Excellent.
Every Friday she airs a new episode. I think like this is like her third week or something like that. So yeah, would you ever consider doing something like that? Like,
definitely. I the minute you started talking about it, I'm like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah, and each episode is only like 5 minutes.
Wow, excellent. That's
very interesting.
And to produce 5 minutes in a week, that's got to be really cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is like a family project for her. She said that, you know, with, you know, her brother and her sister in the industry or whatever. So she said it basically only cost her like maybe $300
wow.
to do it all or something like that. So,
my
yeah. So
cameraman,
I.
My husband's a cameraman, so.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And being that, you know, what we were talking about earlier as far as, you know, the trash talking and that kind of the web gives you a little bit more room to become somebody totally different that
right.
you would be on a regular soap. So,
right, right.
You know, so yeah, that's something I just thought I'd throw in there for you to check out and see. Maybe you would like it.
I can't wait.
Oh yeah. So now, would you do any other soaps, like as far as on ABC or CBS
again? Oh,
definitely.
I've always wanted to be on an ABC show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love I love Young and the Restless also.
Mm-hmm.
I love GH, All My Children, One Life to Live. I love them all, but ideally I'd like to stay out here in California.
Right.
Opposed to, of course, living on the East Coast. I love the East Coast. Spent half my life, met my husband, had my son on the East Coast. So
mm-hmm.
I do miss the seasons a lot. I love my husband and my son really love California though, and
mm-hmm.
so we'd like to. And you know, my son's spent we've been here the last 8 years. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to, you know, if I didn't have to, I wouldn't want to have a big change for him. But
right.
I would love to do an ABC show. I would.
Right. Well, yeah, well, that would end up meaning we have a young lady in the chat room, Crystal. She's like, so that means General Hospital. You gotta come
well,
up. And
it would be great. General Hospital, Young and the Restless, they're both incredible shows and both very different from each other. So
absolutely. Well, General Hospital has become like a little mini, I call it like a little mini Sopranos episodes, I guess you want to call it. You know,
our family videos, basically.
exactly.
I'm married to a Luciano. My married name is
Yeah, I saw that. Yes, your last name. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you know all about it. But I think, you know, I kind of like what they did with that in some senses. In some senses, I don't like some of the things that they did. But they can definitely use some new people in the show. So far, all the new people that they've brought on, they've killed off so fast, you didn't even get a minute to know them, you know.
Oh.
So. Yeah, and they kind of killed off the whole Quartermain family, pretty much, except for Monica, Tracy, and Edward. Everybody else is dead.
Wow.
Yeah. They, killed off the Quartermain clan.
I mean, that show is the Quartermains.
Well, now it's centered around the mob, which is the Corinthos.
Wow.
Family.
So maybe they have to change it to the General Bada Bing.
I'm telling you. Well, you know what they're doing, too? They're focusing a lot on Tony Geary and, you know, I mean, Tony Geary had ties with the mob in the beginning and stuff like that, you know, years ago with Frank Smith and when he was with Laura and whatever. But now it's just a lot more way out there mob-related kind of stuff. So, killed off everybody as far as I couldn't believe they killed off Alan Quartermain. He's been Stuart Damon has been on there for over 30 years.
Oh, I know.
And they made him a ghost.
Oh, man.
Don't you hate
man.
That?
That's harsh. That's really harsh.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They made him a ghost.
So
now, tell me
the thing about
what...
Days of Our Lives is you can die many times and still come back, either as yourself or somebody new.
Exactly. And you know what? You don't even got to die. They could just bring you back as somebody else. You did it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't even have to be dead to do it. But, it would
awesome
be pretty funny
way.
To see. Yeah, and I think that's why I like soaps, you know, because it's like an escape from reality. People put too much thought into the reality of it, saying, oh, well, you know, it should be like this because in real life, well, you know, this isn't real life. It's a soap.
Right. You're not watching
it's
a reality
not supposed
show.
To be like that.
It's supposed to be your fantasy life or, you know, something that's different from your life. I know.
Exactly.
I get that. Well, you know, people wouldn't, I'm like, but yeah, you're right, but this isn't real people.
Yeah, exactly. We have a caller on the line, Judy.
Oh.
Her name is Maggie. She's a regular caller to the station. She calls and talks to all the stars, so she's asking me to pick her up, so hold on one
second.
Hi, Maggie. You're on the phone with Judy.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I love you and they are...
Thank you so much. You're so sweet.
Yeah, thank you. Doreen.
Yes, honey.
My show is on tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm home by that time, I'll definitely call in because usually by that time I'm picking up the kids from their after school kind of stuff. So if I'm home at 6, I'll definitely call in, okay?
Okay. I love you.
I love you too, honey.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Maggie, bye-bye.
Bye. Aww.
She is so sweet. She is a huge Kristen Alderson fan from One Life to Live.
Oh, really?
She calls and talks to everyone, but she always, you know, she keeps asking us when we're going to get Kristen on or whatever, but, you know, and we're trying, you know, but she's only 16, so we don't know what her mom and her father will let her do or whatever, and So Maggie went and started her own show, all about Kristen.
Oh.
So that's what she was saying. Her show starts tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and she wants me to call in. Yeah,
that's
so it's
wonderful.
All about Kristen Alderson. Yes, Kristen was on The View today, Crystal said. Yeah, Kristen Alderson plays Todd Manning's daughter on One Life to Live, and they're doing a teenage pregnancy storyline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Todd Manning is somewhat of a psycho, and...
Right, he was the rapist. Didn't he rape, was it Marley?
Yeah, Marty Saybrook, right, yeah. And I guess they tried to redeem him or whatever, but he's still psychotic. And his daughter's 16 now, and she's pregnant, and she ran away. So they're doing, like, this whole thing, and they're working with the National Center for Teen Prevention for Teen Pregnancies or something like that, and they were on The View today talking about it. So that's what they were saying. Yeah, so.
Ah.
But, enough of OLTL. So what is it? Tell me some stories. Tell me some favorite moments of yours off of Days.
Oh, wow. So many. One day as Bonnie, I had all these scenes, fantasy scenes about marrying and kissing. Rex, I think, and... just a bunch of men, and it was really fun to dress up in all these different wedding dresses and, of course, kiss all these guys. In fact, that morning as I was leaving for work, my husband walked me to my car, and he's like, okay, honey, have fun kissing all the boys. That was a fun, certainly a fun, and the character of Bonnie had a lot of fantasies about the younger men on the show. So that was, and they were always scantily clad, and it was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Are you friends with anyone off the set?
You know, we don't live in like the west side of Hollywood. We live on the very suburban, way out on the east side of Los Angeles County. So nobody lives out here from the entertainment industry. Very few people. So, as much as people drive in California, we don't drive a lot across town, I guess, or across the county. So no, unfortunately. I mean, I'm friendly with a lot of people, and I'm friends with a lot of people, but it's hard. My husband and I were each other's best friends. He races home to be with his family, and I always race home to be with them, and our life is centered around each other and our son. So it's awful, but we just don't have a lot of friendships simply because we want to be with each other. And
right.
The three of us together. So we're like this little bubble. We're the bubble family.
Right. Well, you know what? That's all right. I mean, sometimes that's a very good way to have it, keeping to yourself and concentrating on your family, because, I mean, from what I understand, the way that Hollywood is, sometimes you can lose all that, and, it's good to have that, so I commend you for that.
We're each other's best friends. I mean, he makes me laugh every day. I make him laugh. We've been together 17 years, but we've been married 15, and it just doesn't seem like that because we're just so happy, and we're so in love with each other. I mean, as in love now as we were when we first met. So we crave being around each other all the time. And, even our son, our first son doesn't really have that many friends because we just hog all his time.
Right.
I don't know how he's going to grow up, how normal he's going to be, but.
Crystal in the chat room, she wants to know how you got written off how you got written out of Days.
Is it
in a way that you'll be able to come back?
Yes. Adrian and her husband Justin and their four boys. Justin got a job offer in Dubai.
Okay.
So they all moved there, and so they could come back, I guess, at any time.
I don't know
if that's going to be anytime soon or what, but. It's certainly open for it. But again, then again, if you die on the show, you're almost guaranteed to come back.
This is true. Yeah, it's sometimes the ones that get written off that never show up again, but if you're dead, they'll definitely bring you back.
Yeah, or you go upstairs to take a nap and, you don't come down again.
You know, it's really sad because you do see that. And it's like,
yeah,
what are you people thinking that you're going to write somebody out like that?
I know.
I mean, it is a soap, but really, come on.
I know. Well, like, Stefano's in a coma, and they let Joe Mascolo go, and supposedly, you know, that's the way Stefano's going to stay off camera in a coma. I mean, he was major story for the last 2 years, but all of a sudden, we're going to just put him in a coma.
I did read about that.
Yeah, I just read about it today, too, and I was like, holy cow, because I'm not around, so I don't know what's going on. I have to, you know, catch up in the Soap Opera Digest and Soap Opera Weekly. And I read that, I was like, oh, my God, wow, interesting.
Yeah, well, did do you still watch it if you have time, or?
Sometimes I do. I usually catch it on SoapNet. I watch a lot of Law & Order.
So do I. Oh, yeah,
I love Law & Order. And they plays, you know, every day, a couple times a day on TNT and also on USA Channel. So I'm always watching it. And I'll flip over to SoapNet. Thank you. I'm like,
SoapNet.
What the heck? What's the matter with me? During the commercial breaks, I'll flip over to see what's happening or see, you know, what people are wearing or see friends or whatever. And then I'll flip back. But I'm hooked on that. And also on Lifetime, I love to watch Frasier and the Golden Girls and Will and Grace. But I don't watch TV all the time, just, you know, 10, 15 hours a day. But don't you just love Law & Order? Which is your favorite?
I love Criminal Intent. I love Vincent D'Onofrio.
I think he
is so adorable.
So hot.
I think he's gotten better with age.
I do, too. I agree with you. Oh, my gosh. You know what? Not many people care for that show that I know and care for him. I love him, and I love that show.
I mean, Christopher Noth is on there, too, but I don't like how they kind of, like, I was a little mad when they split it up, you know, where it was, you know, Gorin and Eames and then, you know, what is his name?
Yeah,
now?
I know. It should be Gorin.
Logan
and
the other one.
All the time.
And they gave him like 7 million partners already.
I know.
You know, Christopher Noth. So I don't like how they split that up.
Yeah,
and I like SVU, too. I like SVU better than I like the original now.
Yes,
you know, Jesse Martin just left.
And Mariska is so beautiful. And she left?
No, she didn't leave. On the original show, Jesse L. Martin.
Oh, right. He left. But Mariska's so beautiful. And I love, oh, gosh, what's his name? Her partner. He's just so hot.
Oh, Christopher Maloney. He's another one.
My God. He's so.
I love him, too. Yeah.
I loved him in Oz, though. You ever watch Oz?
You know what? No, I didn't. I never had it. I never got movie channels in the house because, you know, my 15-year-old at the time was younger, and he was curious, and then I have a 7-year-old, too, who was, you know, always up in everybody's business, so I never kept them, you know.
The DVDs because it's full frontal.
Okay.
Christopher Maloney, I just got to say, you know, I love
him. I'll have to watch.
Yeah, you'll love him more. Trust me, there's a lot to love.
Oh, yeah, I'm writing it down now to make sure I remember.
A lot to love.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Good morning,
Crystal. Crystal in the chat room is asking if you watch Wife Swap or American Idol, Dancing with the Stars.
That's so funny. You know, I'm not a big reality buff, except my husband is. We watch Wife Swap, we watch The Nanny thingy, Super Nanny or whatever. We watch American Idol. I watch it because he's watching it. And I'm getting into them because he's into them. I really love scripted television, and for professional reasons, I have a lot against reality. I'm just like more of a scripted person, but I do get into it because he's into it.
Right.
And some of the shows that it's like Real Housewives of Orange County, I have to take like Valium or whatever afterwards because it gets me so angry. These women, I start like, Bonnie, I can't watch this. I can't watch this. It's making me so freaked out and angry. He's like, oh my God. And it's because it's quote unquote real, I think, that bothers me all the more. I could stand women like that in scripted because I know it's not real.
Right.
But I literally want to go punch those women.
I feel the same way, and especially about the ones in New York too. They're pretty funny too. It's sickening to watch. Getting back to professional stuff now.
Okay.
I could just sit with you on the phone and just talk now. So, I mean, if we weren't on the air, we'd just be BSing away. Brandon in my chat room wants to know, let's see, where did your question go, Brandon? I lost you. ask Judy about some of the executive producers she has worked with throughout the years. Jill Farren Phelps' reputation often precedes her. and does Chris Goutman and Ken Cordes, what is that?
You know, I've always worked well with all of the executive producers. I loved Michael Lapson, who was an executive producer on Another World. He, really great stand-up guy. Gail Colby from The Guiding Light, she was incredible as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love Ken Corday. You know, he's given me so many opportunities. I'd love to work with Gary Tomlin. I worked with him on Another World. He was the one of the directors, and he had executive produced and written for the show as well. But when I worked with him, he's a director, and I'd love to work with him as an executive producer. I think he's a wonderful human being and very gifted. Chris Goutman was great. It was really, really wonderful. Terry Guarneri, who was an executive producer for a while at Another World, was wonderful as well. Jill was always very nice to me, and at one point my son got really sick and I missed a couple of days of shooting, and she was very gracious and sent him this enormous basket with a little flying those wagons with all these toys in it. It was really very sweet.
Okay.
And Charlotte Savitz was wonderful as well. She's a really sweet, sweet person and a really good executive producer. I've never had a problem really with anyone. I try to be as professional as I possibly can. Don't always succeed. And usually, you know, when you're like that, people respond to you in a professional way. So,
right.
I'm not really a big diva kind of person. I wish I probably should be more, and I wish I was a little bit more assertive,
right,
which would be considered diva-ish, I suppose.
Right, right, right.
But I always figure, you know what, they're my boss, and in my contract it says, you know, you do what people ask you to do, and you do it the best you can, and there you go. So, oh, and Al Rabin. Oh, my God. Al Rabin, who was the executive producer of Days of Our Lives for a long, long time. He was probably one of the best executive producers ever because he was a dad and a boss. He was awesome.
Yeah. Did you have any particular favorite writers that you worked with?
Pam Long, who wrote For Guiding Light, was an incredible storyteller. And I wish I had the chance to work with her again because she really told story well and characters were very defined and she was really, really wonderful. But I've worked with so many wonderful head writers. I mean, the list is so long. And maybe one of the reasons she stands out so much, too, is the first show I worked on and it was a great character and it was great storytelling. So, she was really great, and I'm a writer, but when I'm acting, I'm not writing, so it's hard for me to judge writing so much because I'm acting. So they write the words; it's my job to learn them exactly and to say them, not to rewrite or judge it. You know, I mean, my job is to find a way to make it work for me, and hopefully in the scene. So, to me, they were all great writers.
Brandon is mentioning Michael Malone.
Oh, I love Michael Malone. He was wonderful, too. And what a gracious, wonderful human being. Really a caring, incredibly talented man. That's mm-hmm. another person I would love to work with again. Would love. Would crawl over cracked glass to work with again.
Mm. He's saying he bets a lot of soap people wish Pam Wong would come back.
Oh, my God. You know, yes. I'm sure the smart ones do wish that because he is incredible. And there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of humanity. And there's a lot of dramatic story. I mean, she just and a lot of beautiful, you know, sensuality to the characters and situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go back and watch some of the episodes from 83 to 86 when Pam was writing, you'd
mm-hmm.
just be blown away by some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Not away from ABC.
Yeah, you know, and I've noticed, like, I mean, I can't remember a lot of ABC stuff when I was younger, but, I mean, I just have, like, this memory issue. But I've been watching Brian's Hope every day at 5
wow.
o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
It comes on SoapNet.
Right.
And the stories that they have on Brian's Hope, I think that, I mean, there's a big difference between the era of then and now, but I think that the storylines, the way that they kind of involve every character and not just,
right.
you know, just, you know, a couple people, I love how they do that. And I see that with soaps today, they kind of just, like, focus on three people and the rest is just backstories. And
right.
and I think that's pretty sad.
It is. You know, I was reading an article, an interview with Chris Gautman. And he was talking about how it's mostly because of budget constraints that they can't do that. But it used to be wonderful how they would spiderweb and interweave all these people and all these storylines.
Exactly.
That they just can't because the budgets are cut so far. I mean, it's not the 80s or the 90s anymore. So budgets are very, very, very broken down now and
right.
very
well,
light. So they can't
maybe then what they should reconsider is stop shooting everything in HD and film and get rid of the stupid green screens and, you know, I mean, it makes for nice stuff. You know, it is nice to look at, but, you know, you want to see everybody else, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's
you
the one thing.
You want to watch the stories and watch the unfolding of the families. And
right, not the special effects,
no,
you know.
No, go to the movies for that.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe that's something that they need to do. You know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I watch all three of them, but I'm probably about like 3 weeks behind on all my children and just haven't. I mean, it's been building up in my TiVo that I deleted a week because I just never watched it because nothing is really, you know, scraping the surface for me to say, hey, I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see it. I don't. You know, I'd rather watch my repeats of Law and Order before I watch that right now.
And, you know, that's all storytelling. There's not a lot of special effects on those shows. It's storytelling. It's
mm-hmm.
story on Law and Order. You know, it's stories and stories about
yeah.
people and their relationships.
And they take it right off the out of the headlines. How hard can that be? Pull something out of
that.
The headlines and write it.
Yeah. Just change the names.
Exactly. That's what they do. I don't understand, you know. I mean, I have my own ideas for, like, little shows for SoapNet that I'm trying to figure out who I need to talk to about them. I mean, it's nothing that I would talk about while I'm broadcasting, but, I mean, it's
right,
just,
right.
like, some of the stuff that I've encountered since I started doing this is pretty amazing and, to me, would make for a good story on a soap channel. Not a primetime channel, not anything, but on a soap channel. You know, and I don't know. So, I don't know. I just have a hard time putting stuff down on paper the way I want it to come out. So, I don't know. Eventually, I guess maybe I would end up trying to find somebody to talk to about it and see what they thought. But
you know, a friend of mine, a writer friend of mine said, you know, if you just write a sentence or two or even a paragraph a night, you'd have a book
right.
in a year. You know, mm-hmm. write down a couple of characters, write down a couple of descriptions, write down a couple of scenes. And in a few months, you'll have a script, you know, or,
right.
or a Bible.
Yeah, I guess, you know. But it's amazing some of the stuff that I've encountered that is, like, so true to form soap stuff.
Right,
that
right.
it's like, you know, people, I want to tell you this stuff because it seems like you need a little bit of help.
Right. Right. Seriously.
You know. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm seriously thinking about it. I truly am, because, you know, some of the stuff, just, I think that soap fans are probably the most loyal fans in the world in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
And
yes.
Some of the soap people, soap fans, I should say, that I've met over the last 4 years since I started, like, attending Super Soap Weekend and stuff like that, the stories they tell me and the things that they do to meet actors is just so
really?
Off the wall incredible. I just, like, somebody got to write something about that.
Oh, my
very
God.
Very intriguing.
Oh,
very,
wow.
Very intriguing.
Now,
yeah.
you piqued my interest, definitely.
Yeah. You know, now, did anything ever like that happen to you? Like, what was your craziest fan encounter?
Wow. Somehow a young lady not far from where I lived once got my phone number. I don't know if it was from a security guard at some point or whatever, and she started prank calling my house a lot. But then I guess she got kind of really confused with the character and whatever and was very jealous about the whole Justin Adrian thing, and she started leaving me these. But I didn't know who it was.
Right, right, right.
This is before caller ID. This is back in the 80s, and started
yeah.
saying, I'm going to kill you, I have a gun, I'm going to kill you, and freaking me out. And
oh
so I finally, you know, called the cops, and they tapped my phone and what have you, and it turned out it was like this 12-year-old girl who lived a few blocks from where I lived even. And and they said, you know, they brought her down to the station, and they said her mother was going to punish her much better than they could, so, and
oh
she probably wouldn't call
goodness.
Again. But that was
that
like the freakiest
insane.
Very scary. And then there was another one too. A gentleman who's written me from prison for, gosh, 25 years now. Very sweet. Somehow got my number too, and my home number. My brother happened to be visiting a city where he was incarcerated, and I got this collect phone call from this name I recognized,
mm-hmm.
and my brother was in that city that weekend. So I thought, well, wow. So I, you know, I accepted the call, and it was this gentleman calling me from prison. So that was a little, that was interesting.
God.
But he's a wonderful sweetie. You know, he's a very sweet man, and so
right,
it was all
right, right.
cool. But I was like, okay. And halfway through, after we started speaking, I realized who he was because I didn't know when I accepted the call, and I was like,
oh
my
God.
Cow. But it turned out to be fine. But that was
oh
a little bizarre.
Oh, wow. All right, I got a caller on the line. Let's see who this is. Area code 512, you're on the phone with Judy Evans.
Hi, guys. Hi, Judy. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. My name is Brandon. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, and it's a thrill to talk to you. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I was wondering if you still keep in touch with anybody like Joe Barber or Tom Eplin or anybody from the Another World cast. I've heard several people from that cast say that because y'all kind of filmed out in Brooklyn away from everybody, that y'all really were like a family because you had nobody else to kind of, you know, lean on. And I'm just wondering if y'all kept in touch in the years since Another World went off the air.
You know, I kept in touch for the first couple of years. It was hard because a lot of people, you know, moved directly out of the New York area out to California. So everybody kind of scattered when the show went off the air. But I kept in touch for a while with Dahlia and Nadia Stanovich and Dahlia Salam and also Kim Rhodes. And, of course, Joe Barbara, too. And Joe Barbara and I, we seem to talk every now and then, so I've kept in touch with him. Tommy, he went to As the World Turns and then moved. I think he's in Northern California, last I heard. But I he kind of, like, disappeared, fell off the map there, so I don't know.
He totally did, and it's really stunning because he was such a hit on As the World Turns. I mean, when he went over there, it was really kind of surprisingly successful, and it kind of ended so quickly, and
very abruptly.
It's a shame that he left the soap world because he was an asset to the soap world.
Yes. You know what? There's one thing. Definitely Tommy was great because you had to be on the ball. You had to bring your A game because if you didn't, you were going to be thrown out, basically, in the scene, basically. So he was really a wonderful, challenging man to work with. And I haven't worked with anybody like him since or before that. And I do miss his energy and what he brings. He brought something to the table, a lot to the table, every day.
I think the soap world in general misses his energy.
I agree.
There weren't many people like him at the time, and there sure are now.
No, and we need more people like him. Wow, that's, yeah. Yeah, but so, you know, I don't know if a lot of people keep up with I'm sure some do. It's just, you know, it just gets, it's like a film set, you know. You're with people for, you know, 24/7 for 3 months, and then the film ends, and you feel like a family, and then sometimes you never talk to the people you felt closest to ever again. It's really weird. It's the weirdest thing.
And I remember people like Linda Dano and other people saying, you know, because there was nothing else to do out in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all really did have to depend on each other for entertainment and for, you know, when you weren't on the set, you know, you really had to depend on each other for company and entertainment and what have you.
Totally. Plus the hours on Another World were the longest of any show I've ever worked on. I mean, we would start at 7. I remember one show lasted 3 days. We were there at the studio for 3 days. People slept there. We filmed almost round the clock. But there were many times a show started at 7 and wrapped at 2 and started at 7 the next morning. I can't tell you how many times I slept in my dressing room. I know. So you know what? You were around the people. I was around the people at Another World more than I was around my family.
Yes.
So they become, ultimately they become your family. And then the show ends and you get a divorce.
I have one more quick question if I could.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm wondering if you still check in with Guiding Light every now and then and what you think of their new production model, if it's going well, if that's the wave of the future for daytime. Do you have any thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, you know, I have checked it out a bit on Guiding Light and As Well Turns, and I have to be honest, I'm not a fan of the new kind of technique. It's not bowling me over. I mean, I know it's probably saving them a lot of money budget-wise, and I don't, you know, but I find it more distracting than interesting. I don't, it's not telling, for me, so far, I haven't gotten the sense of a storytelling. It's just kind of, I don't know, it just doesn't jive with me. Maybe because it's new and I'm not used to it, and give it some time and maybe I'll turn around, but I'm not crazy about the production value of it, and I'm not crazy about the way it's done. It's a, soaps are a fantasy, and they don't need to be real for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to be real, I want to see them real in Fiji or, you know, Europe. I want to see a remote that's exotic or, you know, sexy or romantic. You know, the driving down the road, stopping for, not into it. How about you? How do you feel about it? How do you like it?
Well, I'm trying to be patient with it. You know, it's a massive change, and for, you know, stodgy old soaps that kind of stay the same for 50 years and 60 years, and, you know, it's a big change, but I'm trying to be patient with it because, you know, it's still one of my favorite casts. They're my favorite actors.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of a primetime show called Friday Night Lights, which uses a similar technique to this in terms of the way they film it. And you know, I keep hoping they're going to work out all the bugs and all the kinks and kind of pull it together and make it a smashing success, because, you know, that show deserves to live forever, because we're talking about a 70-year-old institution, and it's an American treasure, and it deserves to go forever, and it just feels like I don't want to say it's in a death spiral, but it feels like it's just going downhill very quickly, and it's a shame because it's an institution. I mean, it's you know.
It should never be canceled. That's a show that should never go off the air. I completely agree with you. It is television history. And, you know, a historical monument, you don't mow it over and throw up to a townhome. You know, I agree with you 100% there. So maybe you will.
Let me interrupt for 1 second, because we're going to get, I just want everybody to know that there's only 38 seconds left, so we're not going to be streaming live anymore. We're just going to go into archives. In order to hear the show, you have to call the switchboard 347-945-5423, and then you can still hear what we're talking about. It just won't be streaming live. Okay, go ahead.
What, sweetie?
No, go ahead and finish. I just didn't want them to say, oh, my gosh, I don't hear anything anymore,
oh,
but
okay.
That's why. You can only, after a certain amount of time, you can only hear it through the telephone.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
But, no, go ahead. You've got plenty of time to talk.
Oh, no, it was just, you know, hopefully it will, they will work out the kinks, because if it does save money, then hopefully the shows will stay on the air longer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I agree. You know, Ellen Wheeler is a really smart woman, and you know she's got a dream cast with her still. I mean, I know she's lost Ricky Paul Golden, and it seems like she's losing Beth Ellers, but she's still got Kim Zimmer over there, and she's still got, you know, just a dream daytime cast that knows
right.
how to put a show on its feet. And you know, I remember Jerry Verdorn years ago in an interview said that you could do the show with stick figures on a chalkboard, and it would still be riveting as long as the story was compelling. And
exactly.
It seems like they're having trouble getting the story to be compelling, to kind of match the new production values, the new camera angles, the new, you know, it seems like there's a huge disconnect in between the story and the production. And,
right.
You know, I'm just hoping that they can kind of pull it together.
Yeah. The writing, I mean, if the show is going to change so drastically like that, the writing has to change as well. Everything has to change. You know, it would be like a rebirth almost. So you're right. I hope they can as well.
I tell you what, I'm rooting for them, and I think a lot of people are, because it's, you know, like I said, we're talking about 70 years of American history here. It's quite something. You know, they're talking about all the new fall shows that are coming up this year. I mean, there's never going to be a show that'll debut today or tomorrow that'll last for 70 years like this has. This is
no. I mean,
it's the end of an era.
I know. Hopefully, it was not the end, though. Hopefully.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, when these shows go and you know, I mean, they, you know, it's going to be the end of that kind of programming. There won't be anything else that'll replace it even remotely, similarly.
No. I hopefully that in that same vein that they won't get rid of them. Because nothing can replace them, and people do need that release, especially even during the day. I mean, even if they're going to work, they're still TiVoing, they're still taping, you know, they're still recording
it. You know, aren't you afraid sometimes, though, that reality TV is just, like, going to take over everything? Because seriously, during the day, if you flip through the channels, there's nothing but court TV shows, Jerry Springer shows, this kind of show. They're all reality television shows.
Oh, and they're nothing to produce. They cost nothing to produce.
Yeah,
and
they're all garbage. It's garbage TV. It's trash TV, pretty much, most of it.
Crap, and then more crap.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I'm not a reality kind of fan either. You know, I don't even watch American Idol. I don't watch none of that stuff. The only time I watched, like, Dancing with the Stars was when there were soap people on it. That's when I watched
right.
it.
Right.
You know, but other than that, no, I could kill us.
It's
you
really
know, that ain't got nothing to do with me.
Because it can totally, you know, take over the whole industry, and it would be sad because then it's not creative anymore.
No.
You know, what's creative is brand new show, you know, brand new characters and story driven and, you know, scripted television. That's creative. I mean, you know, another
mm-hmm.
person on an island eating a bug. Is not
right.
going to be interesting, hopefully. And, you know, those ratings of those shows, even American Idol, did not, so far their ratings have not compared to years before. So,
they fell.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, executives will eventually realize that your staying power is with your scripted shows. You can have reality shows, but they're not going to go on for 15 years or 10 years or, you know, 70 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard that Simon Cowell said today that he wants to revamp the entire show from top to bottom, from the way that they judge the guests in the beginning, from the way that they do their performances, how they pick their songs, and all. Because, I mean, in the beginning when American Idol first came on, I laughed my ass off at the comments. I thought it was funny. You know, but, I mean, how long has it been on now? It's a little old. It's stale,
yeah.
You know. How many times can you make fun of the same person? Seriously.
I know. you really can't. Or the same type of person. You know, it's like, okay.
Exactly.
Well, it's not funny anymore. The surprise is over.
yeah,
exactly. And every singer on that show kind of fits the type now, and you know, you can compare anybody who's currently in that type to somebody who's already been in that type, and
exactly.
You know, there aren't any new combinations, there aren't any new possibilities with it.
No.
Yeah, and you know what? American Idol has not produced really many idols. How many seasons has it been on? Like 7 or 8 seasons or something. I mean, they've got Kelly Clarkson. She was the first one. I adore her. I think she sings beautifully. I think she has a great voice. But that's when the show was original.
Yes,
and then,
yes.
God, who else came off of American Idol?
Jennifer Hudson.
She was a winner. She an Oscar winner, but she has nothing to do with American Idol.
Right.
Then you got
Ruben Stoddard.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Ruben Stoddard, after he won American Idol, I ran into him in Manhattan. I was down at Bryant Park. I had brought my son down there, and they were doing like Good Morning America was doing like a concert in the park. And he was part of it. So we were crossing the street, and he was crossing the street, and my son got all excited. He was like, oh, Mom, look, there's... And he tried to talk to him, and Ruben started so acted like he was such a star and just snubbed my kid.
No way.
And I threw a couple four-letter words at him right behind him. You keep walking, mother, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, you ain't nobody. You're American Idol. And look at you now. Where is he? I don't know. Alabama, somewhere eating ribs.
I hate when I do that. When it goes to people's head, and so quickly, over such a short period of time, and all of a sudden they're hot poop.
I hate that. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, they really haven't produced too many stars. And I saw a news clip this morning on The View. Fantasia Barrino, she was one winner, and that went into Broadway or whatever, and I personally don't like her style of singing. To me, she sounds like a female version of James Brown. She performed, I guess, on American Idol, and the camera went to Simon, and he was looking at her like, oh, my God, where did she come from? Are you serious that they really put her through? Because she was awful.
Right.
And she was coming back on the show, you know, at their what do you call it?
Performer?
Yeah, because I think they're down to, like, their last two or something like that. Because, like, I mean, I don't watch it, but it's on every news channel, so it's like, you can't escape it.
No, you can't get away from it.
You know?
As much as you try, you can't.
And it would be pretty sad if this is what the
what we have to
industry
look
turns into.
I know. It would be very disturbing and very sad and... Certainly wouldn't be interesting for long. So hopefully, you know, they'll get the idea that that's not going to work. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I hope we're lucky.
I hope so, too. But anyway, Brandon, I'm glad you had a chance to call in.
It was nice talking to you, Brandon.
Same here. Thank you very much. And congratulations on the Emmy nomination. And
it's very well deserved,
and it's been long deserved.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Believe me, I really do.
Thank you for years and years of fantastic entertainment, and I wish you years and years more.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Brandon, wait, before you go, let me just mention here, Judy has a new website, judyevans.net, and on her website there's a new fan club information. Debbie O'Connor is heading up your fan club.
Yes.
Yeah, she has a new fan club forming on her website, and all the information is on there, how to join, what you get, and all that kind of stuff. So check out her website.
And also we have a message board that we talk on, and we trade recipes on that message board as well. So,
oh, do you really? Where is that? I don't see that here.
Yeah, it's probably not on there, but there's a message board, and I haven't been on for the last couple of weeks. My father-in-law and then my mother got very sick, so plan to go back soon. But, in fact, several of the recipes are excellent, and one of the favorites that have come out of there is the Peter Pan Neverland cookies. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. Please try
them. Really?
They're with Peter Pan peanut butter only, because that's the best that goes with it.
Right.
And white chocolate and toasted macadamia nuts. I mean,
oh. Oh, how wonderful.
And lots of butter, because if you put butter on dog poop, it tastes good, you know?
It does.
Put enough butter on anything.
Yeah.
But they're
definitely
killer. They're really
Do you
killer.
Know what the address is to the message board?
If you click on to my website, and it's it's under the fan part, and it's on where you check out the fan club, and it'll say sign my guest book. So you go on.
Oh,
the
I
guest
see
book,
it here. Okay, I see
and
it.
And then there you go. It's really fun, and
oh, okay,
it's nice
very
to check
good.
In and find out about you know, people who are watching, and I appreciate you watching for so many years and allowing me to do something that I love that can also entertain you.
Listen, I've been a soap fan since I was in the womb, so it's
you were forced. There was no going back for you, huh?
Absolutely, I'm in it till the end. So
excellent. I hope I get to meet you someday.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be
Brandon,
fantastic.
What other soaps are you watching now?
Well, I watch General Hospital most regularly. I've watched One Life to Live since I was 12. And I check in with Young and the Restless every once in a while. I check in with Guiding Light, because I was a Guiding Light fan for years and years.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of follow all of them. So
right.
It just kind of depends on what's going on a particular show that interests me.
Right.
But General Hospital right now is the one that I watch most regularly. So.
Oh, okay. Well, tomorrow night we're having Sonya Eddy on the show.
Yes, I saw that earlier.
Yeah.
She was on Buzzworthy a few weeks ago, and I listened in on that.
Yeah, she was for a little bit, yeah. But we're also going to have on Monday Seamus Deaver, who played Ian Devlin.
Yes, yes.
And then Alicia Lee Willis is going to be on the 20th. Courtney?
Yes, yes.
Then Julia Barr.
If you could get Laura Wright, I would love you forever and ever.
I am trying my hardest to get Laura Wright. But you have to, you know what, you have to understand about General Hospital and the actors on General Hospital, a lot of them don't do press, you know?
Really?
I mean, yeah.
This is
the thing. When I started this little show here, it was basically for fans who would never probably be able to get to a lot of these fan club events and stuff like that, because, you know, a lot of them are held in California, and, you know, who can travel like that all the time? You know, certainly
exactly.
Not me.
I'm in Texas, and not very much happens here in Texas.
Where in Texas?
Near Austin.
Oh, my son's name is Austin, and my mom was born in Muleshoe.
Okay.
Lubbock.
Yes, I know where I was actually born a little farther north of Muleshoe, so.
Oh, really?
But
oh
up in the Panhandle. Absolutely, yes.
Oh, I'm so glad you two got to talk to each other. This is awesome. Brandon, you better go to her website and sign her guest book so she has your information.
Absolutely, and listen, I have a red velvet cake recipe that'll knock your socks off. So
my recipe that's passed down from generations is on earlier on the website. So let's trade.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Give me yours and you can have mine.
Absolutely.
I am
love
posting
red velvet cake. Oh.
I'm going to
My aunt Dora makes the best, and she makes the icing to go with it. It is, it's unspeakable. It's unspeakable.
I can't wait to try it.
You don't want to know how many calories are in it? And
no,
who
cares?
Once you take a bite, you
like
won't
that.
Care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
when
you're
eating cake, it doesn't matter.
No. That, you know, I was at a birthday party a couple weeks ago, and they had, like, this chocolate on chocolate on chocolate on chocolate cake. And the girl was like, oh, you know, I think maybe I should just have a tiny bit. I said, look. I said, if you have a tiny bit, you might as well have the whole thing. I said, seriously, when you're eating something like that, you don't pay attention to that. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It was the most delicious chocolate whatever concoction this person made. I was like, just eat the whole slice and shut up, skinny bitch. You know, I mean, really.
I know. Especially
seriously. But, Brandon, I posted our MySpace page on the chat board for you, so you can check out who we're having on.
John J. York is actually coming on at the end of the month, too, and we're going to have some on life people and stuff like that. John Brotherton's coming on in the beginning of June, and who plays Jared. And so, you know, I'm trying my best to get a lot of the GH people because they seem to be the most inaccessible when it comes to stuff like this. You know, I mean, we've done pretty well so far, but Laura Wright, Maurice Bernard, and Steve Burton are probably the hardest people to get.
I'm sure. I'm sure. And Laura Wright is one of my all-time favorites. I mean, she is the best.
She's a doll. I've met her a couple of times at Super Soap Weekend, and she really is a sweet, sweet person. But you know what? After her days there, you know, she's like a family woman, you know. She's a mom, and she does her thing, so you can't really... You know,
especially right now because she's on television right now in heavy story.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So you gotta imagine, like I don't know if you know Judy, like on General Hospital now, Laura Wright's son got shot in the head.
Ooh.
Due to the mob violence or whatever, and so Laura Wright has to go in there day after day after day, crying her eyes out. You know, while this kid is in a coma, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I could do that and survive going home to my own kids. And I mean, I really give you actresses, especially ones with children, you know, the biggest props, because to pull something off like that and do it so realistically is just an awesome thing.
No kidding. Judy, I remember you when you were in the diet pill story and you ran over Kirkland accidentally and you just had to, you wept buckets for weeks and weeks, and it was incredible.
Oh, wow. I you know, I didn't need to go to therapy for that whole period because I just got to cry at work. You know, it does, it's funny because, especially with the soap and playing day after day, it becomes a little bit a part of your life, so it's kind of almost, the tears are real because they're coming from, like, a hurting place, but
right.
It's hell on the complexion, though. I mean, my eyes were little golf balls for a long time.
but where do you go to channel that?
Huh?
The great thing about soaps is you can hit all the beats if you do it right.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
In a movie or in a 1 hour TV show, you kind of skim over things. But in soaps, when it's 5 days a week, you can hit all the emotional beats. You can hit all the characters, all the points of view.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like it. It's irreplaceable. There's nothing like it.
Ah,
right.
I
no, I totally agree with you there. But, like, Judy, where do you go to, like, channel that kind of emotion?
Well, you know, everybody has pain in their life and bad experiences. And
mm-hmm.
so as an actress, you may not have experienced what your character is experiencing. You know that pain somehow, somewhere. And so you
right.
just kind of, it's hard to explain.
Pull it
you're
out.
Kind of, you're in that, you're in, you know, the words, and you put yourself in that place, and the emotion comes out, the heartbreak comes out. It's like opening a valve in your heart, and
mm-hmm.
it just pours out. That it's a hard thing to do, but once you do it, it's very intoxicating to
right.
feel those kind of emotions and make them as real as possible. They are real in that moment. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just crying. It's like your heart is breaking. I mean, several times I've had scenes where I've had serious chest pains because it hurts, physically hurts.
Right.
And it's fun, though, because it's fun to play, you know, things that, you know, either are close to your heart or not and be something totally different and be real. It's like ultimate play acting.
Acting. So what do you think about, I mean, I don't even know if they're going to do it this year. I haven't heard anything about it, but, like, when they do these things, like, I want to be a soap star. I mean, in essence, isn't that, like, a little bit like reality TV, too?
Yeah, but it's reality TV that leads to scripted TV. So
okay, right.
That's kind of like, I kind of feel like, well, that I can accept, and I, you know, I love Michael Bruno, so anything he's doing, I'll
so
watch.
Do I. Yes, he is the sweetest person. I've
the
never
man.
Met him, but we've spoken a few times, and I like Michael.
He's the best.
Definitely
he
partial
best.
To him.
He rocks.
But Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I promised Karen I was going to take care of you tonight. So I hope, she's like, I told her to call me if she has any problems. I was like, oh, my God, I hope she doesn't have any problems.
Never. Oh, please. No way.
I was so nervous. I'm Brandon, I'm actually really happy you called in because I was kind of choking myself because I was telling Judy, you know, I've watched ABC for so long. I never really got into Days and stuff like that. So it was nice to have somebody call in that actually knew what they were talking about.
Yes, well, I'm in my office right now, and my cell phone was actually in my truck. So after everybody in the chat room was kind of urging me to call, I ran out to the truck and grabbed my phone and ran back in. So I'm glad I called too. This was a great thrill talking to a soap legend. So it was.
Oh my
this
God.
This was really great.
Well, thank you. Thank you very
and
much.
We will be rooting
you.
For her Emmy night, definitely.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
definitely.
That.
So I am going to, I want to give you our email address, Judy,
okay.
just so
okay.
I can correspond with you. And I put it up also on the chat room for you, Brandon, so if you have any questions about upcoming guests or whatever the case is. But I really enjoy talking with you, Judy. I really, really do. I feel like you're like one of my old girlfriends from way back when.
This has been super fun.
Well,
thank you.
You know what? Somebody said something to me the other day about the interview style. I said, you know what? I'm not Barbara Walters and I'm not James Lipton. I just want everybody to have fun. You know, these are people who fans will probably never meet or never get a chance to talk to. So you know what? I don't want to bog everybody down with industry questions or whatever because they do that all the time, you know, when they go on different types of interviews. If you're making the circuit, like through the Blog Talk Network, say, because there's like a few other shows on here that do the same format.
Mm-hmm.
There's one show that may ask you 90%, you know, industry questions and won't get any, you know, comedic type questions in there or whatever. I don't want to be like that. I just want to have fun with you guys and let you a place for you to connect with your fans.
I love it. It's awesome.
Y'all are all doing a fantastic job. Y'all are all doing terrific. And
thank you.
It's a great thing to, you know, be able to listen to and communicate with, you know, the actors you love and the characters you love and be able to ask questions. And it's a really great forum, and there's not really anything like it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Brandon. I think it's a fantastic thing to bring to fans. And it's even better when you have such cooperative guests like Judy. And, you know, we've been really lucky that we've had some fantastic guests on the show and are so open to getting in touch with their fans on a different level and realizing that they may not have the money and the means to go to, like, Fan Club Weekend in California or Super Soap in Orlando or travel to these other little intimate places that sometimes they do these events. And this is kind of like their own little personal event to do a little one-on-one with, you know, their favorites. And that's how I look at it, you know, Stardish Radio.
That's excellent.
Your link to the fans. So,
that's
yeah.
I love it.
Well, I'm so pleased, and our email, Judy, is stardishradio@gmail.com. I'd love for you to send me an email, and we can correspond back and forth. And I put it up there for you also, Brandon, on the chat board. I've
Stardish
had such
Radio?
A fantastic time. stardishradio@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
Yes. So now, before you go, can I ask you to do a little promo for the show?
Absolutely.
Okay, you do whatever you want. Do
Brandon,
it however you want.
Too. Thank you, Brandon, so much. It was nice speaking with you.
Thank you very much. It's the honor was all mine.
Aww. Oh, no, all mine.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Okay. I love Brandon.
He's such a sweetheart. Oh, my God. He made
yeah.
me feel 10 feet tall.
Aw, well, you should. I mean, and I definitely was watching some of your clips, and now when I tomorrow when my kids go to school, I'll definitely be on YouTube all day.
You're sweet.
Yeah, well, you know, you've been a delight. Definitely been a delight.
Oh, thank you. You've been a ton of fun too. Just awesome.
Well, I'm glad I could be. I'm very glad to be like that. So, but this is recording, so you can do the promo whenever you're ready. So,
okay.
And you say whatever you want.
Oh gosh, like what? Like what?
Well, this is Stardish Radio, so you know you could just do your name, the name of the station, you know, and just like do, you know, make it your own little thing.
Okay. Hi, this is Judy Evans, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio, the place to get all the goods.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And I want you to promise that you'll come back when you start back in and you got stuff going on.
Absolutely.
If you ever have, once you start, like, doing fan clubs events with Debbie and I mean, I don't know her, but I see the name because she's pretty much everybody's fan club president around. Definitely come back on, and we'll promote all of your events and your charities and all that stuff, too.
I'd love that. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
no,
you.
Judy, thank you. The pleasure has been all mine, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
I can't wait either. The sooner the better.
Okay, Judy. You have a great night.
Thank you, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Good
All
night.
Right. Good night.
Bye.